Please do be seated. And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A boring sermon. That's bigging it up. How can a sermon that's going to look at how the nuances of the Greek grammar reflect the chiastic Hebrew poetry form of Psalm 23? I mean, that's... Now, at this stage, you don't know whether I'm joking or not. And that's equally frightening. But actually, this morning, we're going to look at the reading from Acts. Which was the first Bible reading we had, which Delia read for us. The book of Acts is part two in Luke's two-part work. Starts with his gospel, and then it goes on into the Acts of the Apostles. And what it describes, what Luke describes in Acts, is the founding of the embryonic church in Jerusalem. He goes on and then talks about how the church gets founded in Antioch, talks about conversion of St. Paul, who writes some of the letters in the New Testament, and then talks about how Christianity spreads through Paul's missionary journeys and other means. But what you get in Acts with Luke, there's no complicated theology. It's just, this is what Luke saw and heard. You know, it's the Acts of the Apostles reporting. It's just an eyewitness account. And it starts off, you know, if you remember, it starts off where the disciples see Jesus taken up into heaven, and then they all go back to Jerusalem. And that's where they receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire, and they get on with doing their daily business. One of the things that they do on a regular basis is they go up to the temple to pray. And they also meet in each other's houses, it tells us. But they go up to the temple each day to pray. And one of the days, when they're going up to the temple, and it may be still around the time of Pentecost, that's when the fire came down, but actually it was a Jewish festival, one of the three Jewish festivals when all the Jews came to Jerusalem. So it might be around the time that Jerusalem's still heaving with people, and they're just going up to the temple, and all of a sudden they get accosted by a lame man who cries out to them and begs from them. And Peter and John just say, well, we haven't got any money to give you, but what we have, we will give you. And in the name of Jesus, rise up. Do you remember the song, Silver and Gold Have I None? But such... No, never mind. Now, the temple authorities get upset that the man has been healed in the temple. And so they have Peter and John arrested. And that's where we come into today's reading, because Peter and John are now in front of the temple authorities and are being asked about what's happening, what's going on. Because there are probably lots of people in Jerusalem, the Romans are probably there to keep a bit of law and order. And the people that Peter and John are in front of, it calls them the rulers. They're probably the Sadducees. And the Sadducees hold most of the seats on the Sanhedrin, 70 people who ran things in Jerusalem in the temple. And in front of the Sadducees, who are the aristocracy? They're the old guard. They're ultra-conservative. And they certainly don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in a spiritual world. And so they ask Peter and John, in what name and in what power are you doing this? And that's actually one of the central questions of the New Testament. Because on their reply, the shape of our Christian faith will get formed. So in that passage this morning, it's almost a defining moment in the Christian faith, because they say, in what name and whose power are you doing this? And it's as if the Sadducees, who are very political, they're more like almost Zionists, you know, their job is to keep the peace with the Romans. And so you can almost imagine the Romans going to the Sadducees and saying, what's going on, chaps? Looks like a bit of a fuss. And the Sadducees saying, don't you worry about this, we'll sort it out. And so they're all there. And when it says Peter and John are brought before them, they're in the middle of a heckling crowd of lots of people with Romans who are there to keep the peace and looking at what's going on with the Sadducees. And the Sadducees are there trying to keep everything under control. And they say, by what name and in whose power do you do this? And if Peter had just said, oh, it's God, by God's power, the Sadducees could have said to the Romans, see, I told you so, there's nothing to worry about. Just part of the normal temple doings. You just, you know, carry on. It's just God, you know, God things. We do God things. You let us do God things. But that's not what Peter says. Peter says it's in the power and in the name of the Christ you crucified, who rose again from the dead. It is through the power of the resurrection and Jesus' name that we do these things. And at one stroke, he's both annoyed the Sadducees and has annoyed the Romans, because he said to the Sadducees, it's the power of the resurrected Christ. And he knows they don't believe in the resurrection. So they've now got a problem. And it's almost as if he's turning to the Romans, because the Jews weren't able to crucify Christ by themselves. They had to do that with the Romans. He turns to the Romans and said, who you crucified? So in a stroke, rather than accepting what might have been an olive branch, he's annoyed everybody in the room. The Sadducees and the Romans. And you might have thought, Peter, why did you say that? You could have just said something that was compromising, that was said, yeah, it's God, just, you know, don't worry about it. That might even have been helpful to help the faith grow and get people, you know, off our backs. But it didn't. He spoke out and defined the Christian faith by, it is through the power of the resurrection. And as Christians, we know that it's only through the power of the resurrection that we can have a relationship with God and have our lives put together the way God intended them to be. And Peter overcomes any thoughts of compromise and speaks out, because what comes through in Acts is that power of the Spirit which enables and motivates the Christian faith and is the underpinning of its growth. And for us sometimes, we too can have chance encounters with people. And it's very easy for us to take the easy route, to take the compromise, to speak in general terms about God. But all the time we do that, every time we just speak in those general terms, we actually deny in some sense the power of the resurrection in our lives. We want to sometimes say socially acceptable things, things that are not going to ruffle feathers, things that are not going to make us stand out. But actually, God calls us to stand out. God calls us, in the name of Jesus and in his power, to speak out the power of the resurrection by which we have our relationship with God. To not take the easy answer, not to sometimes say the things that might make it easier for ourselves, but to be clear and confident in our faith. Because it is through that confidence of speaking out the power of the resurrection that God's world order, the new world order which the resurrection brought, comes about in our world. It is through us speaking out the power of the resurrection that people themselves, others, can come to know the power of the resurrection in their lives, and that personal relationship with Christ, which is far more specific and far more redeeming than an understanding of the God who is here, the God who pervades every atom. Part of our responsibility as people who are living that resurrected life is to speak out the power of the resurrection and the power of the Spirit that underpins what we believe and our relationship with God, so that others can come to know the transforming love of Jesus in their lives. Amen.